I let the impossibilities inspire me. And I have borrowed from those experiences countless times in the months and now almost a couple years since. And it's what I share with people. It's the breadcrumbs that lead them to the house that has built the miracles. And because I continue to hear the worst predictions and I continue to see the possibilities despite them, to let what they say shouldn't be put a desire or an urge, maybe even an inspiration inside of me that will carry me in the darkest moments, to meet the darkness with the light of hope and see the way those create the unpromised sunsets that I do celebrate every day. Welcome to the It's a Miracle podcast. I'm Amanda Farron, and I'm a walking miracle. I've lived more than 1,000 days beyond what my terminal diagnosis would have predicted, and done so with more life and joy than a doctor's prognosis would have said was possible. I have found hope living out everyday moments and seen that each day is a blessing and every sunset is an unpromised gift. I believe your life is also a miracle, and I'm just here to hold up a mirror to help you see it. We're all miracle stories. On the day this podcast comes out, we are launching the It's a Miracle Walk. But no matter when you hear this and whether or not the month-long walk is still taking place, the goal is that the movement of hope inspired by this journey of people coming together to believe for more will be fully active. Launching this passion project, this walk, has come with tension and struggles unlike anything I've really experienced in the past couple years since receiving a terminal prognosis. I've faced sepsis, 25 broken bones, double lung pneumonia, and more days in the hospital than I have out of it. My objective has been to draw from what I can to beat insurmountable odds. When they told me I would die, I chose to live. When they said I wouldn't be able to recover enough to ever leave hospice, I signed out of the hospital and drove from California to Colorado on my own, which, spoiler alert, is what I'm going to talk more about today. They said I'd never walk again, and I chose not only to walk, but to make every step I take a testimony that what is said to be impossible can be possible. Miracles happen, and miracle stories need to be shared because they inspire hope. I've been told that my story inspires people, and that means something to me. But as nice as that feels, it truly matters not as much for my own personal satisfaction, but because I have a vision for a bigger purpose. To inspire means to fill someone with the desire or ability to do something. And I want my miracle story to inspire hope, and that hope to fill you with the desire to live your own miracle story, and therefore to be inspired by your own life. Hopeful people inspire hope in others, and inspired people inspire others. In miracle stories inspire people to believe that what is true for one could be true for you, for your challenging situation, or for your impossible circumstance. They told me the daily walks I take wouldn't be possible. So now my goal is to inspire you. With every step I take, that miracles can happen. And hope is always available. Have I got a story for you? It's a miracle story. So let's go. I would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Podcast Like a Mother. The Podcast Like a Mother podcast creation course is all about teaching you how to make podcasting work for your life. Podcasting should be easy, fun, and created right from your cell phone so that you aren't stuck behind a desk all day. It's time for you to leave your legacy and capture your miracle stories because you are here for a reason, to use your voice and inspire others. Head to the show notes to learn more. It's not lost on me that as I'm recording this, there's about 5 miles and a freeway separating me from where my condo is now and the hospital where I was almost 2 years ago when they told me I would never again be able to live on my own. But back in the summer of 2022, I ended up in California because a generous doctor had offered to let me treat in his hard shell medical grade hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber. I speak more about my hyperbaric oxygen therapy journey in other episodes, but the quick summary is that hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT for short, is not only one of the most powerful and underutilized tools in comprehensive, also just as a side note, I'm not a doctor, so this isn't necessarily medical advice. It's my experience. Don't come at me. But anyways, it's been specifically the most transformative and life-sustaining option for helping me fight infections, restore function, and ultimately live. I will share soon some of the miracle stories that have made up that journey in the last few years, but for now, I'll try and stay on topic because that's always a difficult one for me. Hyperbaric treatment was what had brought me and my medically seeking nomadic life self to California. I was staying in a hotel provided for by the company that creates the chamber that I most frequently use. And one morning while getting ready for an appointment, I slipped and fell in the bathroom. I've taken enough life-altering falls to know that this was that. However, I was like a room away from my phone and all alone. I truly cannot remember, other than I know that it was a miracle, and can't tell you how I got from the tile to the bedside table to place the call to 911. But by the time the ambulance arrived, I was loaded into a stretcher, I was hardly conscious, overwhelmed by pain, and the next few days were excruciating. I had fractured my sacrum, coccyx, and vertebrae. Basically, I broke my pelvis, my butt, and the lower region of my back. Because my heart is so weak, every time that they would try and give me anything for pain, my blood pressure would bottom out. So any relief efforts at all essentially weren't worth the risk. I couldn't even move to use the bathroom. And as I laid feeling like a captive of my broken bones, I started to believe I might have finally been dealt the sentence that would leave me prisoner forever. There was a morning, the doctor said during his rounds, that a caseworker would be coming by to inform me of my options. When she came, she brought with her a lady that the nursing home that I was supposed to go to was from. She said that the average age of the clients there, one being my future roommate, was about mid-80s, and that most were on oxygen and preparing for the end stage of their life. She told me I wouldn't be able to leave for hyperbaric treatments and that there would be limited, if any, physical therapy offered. This, she informed me, was not a rehab facility. Insurance had informed them I was too medically compromised and complicated to authorize a lower level of care, a level of care with any focus of getting better. So this nursing home with a hospice was my only option. But over these years, I've become pretty resolute that despite what doctors may prescribe or predict, or how insurance may view my case, living is always an option. So I signed out of the hospital. My signature acknowledged that I was leaving against medical advice of the doctors who had administered my care throughout that week. But I viewed it as leaving against the advice of people who didn't know the girl or the God that they were dealing with. So I left. In tears and in pain, I was pushed out without a plan. But I was resolved. So I hopped in my car. Okay, I was a body of broken bones. There was no actual hopping, but I got in my car, I went by and retrieved my belongings from the hotel people who just carried them out on a cart and slung them into my vehicle, and I was on mission. Colorado or bust. The altitude is not a friend to someone with a failing heart, and I didn't have any hyperbaric connection set up or really any plan. So I could hardly even ambulate or move through the pain, even when I was assisted with a walker. So I knew I needed help, but I also knew I didn't need hospice. Hope for Healing sat as my car companion and co-pilot and carried me to Utah before I just couldn't go any further. I stopped outside of Salt Lake for a couple of days, and miraculously, an angel named Sydney had a nonprofit mobile hyperbaric clinic, and she let me treat in her chamber for a few days. And quickly, my body responded again, and with multiple treatments and Sydney's homemade celery juice, I was ready to get back on the road. There are a lot of miles between Orange County, California, and Colorado Springs, and I think I wrote about 3 books in my head and got about 12 Dave Ramsey show callers out of debt. But I also made a plan. Medicine said my weak body was too complicated and compromised to make progress from these fractures. And while I didn't know what would happen or where I would go when my body couldn't handle being in Colorado any longer, I knew I would do everything I could do to let my body do what it was created to do, which is heal. I believe that we have inside of us a miraculous body that has been created that can heal. And I believe that we are people made with a hope inside us, and we can choose to access these things. It may be difficult, and circumstances, whether broken bones or broken dreams, may say that we don't have access to hope. We don't have access to healing. But I wanted to let the one who created me have the final word. And in doing so, let healing do the work. And 6 weeks later, everything was different. I was able to walk. It was a miracle, truly. It took daily hyperbaric treatments at a time I didn't have a chamber of my own, which, again, is another miracle story. And it took painful and overwhelming physical therapy sessions. But it all mattered. It mattered because movement means everything to someone with my illness. It keeps my swelling maintained, it relieves pain, and maybe most importantly, at least for me, it allows me to be independent and functioning as I possibly can be. It allows me to still be an Amanda in a situation where so much of my prognosis would take that purpose away from me. I talk more about those 6 weeks in my book, but more than telling you where I arrived after that 6 week journey of relearning to walk, I want you to hear that the journey was far more important than the results. Because that part of the story really is only part of my story. I believed back then, despite all the broken bones and the threat of hospice, that I would recover because I had done it before. I let the impossibilities inspire me, and I have borrowed from those experiences countless times in the months and now almost a couple years since. And it's what I share with people. It's it's the breadcrumbs that lead them to the house that has built the miracles. And because I continue to hear the worst predictions, and I continue to see the possibilities despite them, to let what they say shouldn't be put a desire or an urge, maybe even an inspiration inside of me that will carry me in the darkest moments, to meet the darkness with the light of hope and see the way those create the unpromised sunsets that I do celebrate every day. We're starting the It's a Miracle Walk because I made it my goal for 2024 to take enough steps in a year that added up would be enough to walk from one end of the country to the other. It seems like kind of a crazy thing how much I walk. People make fun of me all the time because I started with the goal that I would take the 10,000 steps that everyone else does. But then I thought, well, if my life is miraculous, I'm going to take more steps than everyone else does. So I'm going to take 15,000 steps. And then as that became something that I just do every day, I figured how many steps would it take to average enough to walk across the country. And I found that it wasn't really that lofty of a goal. It was only a little bit more than 17,000 steps a day. And so that became my goal. And now I average over 25,000 steps a day. I'd probably take enough steps to walk way further than across the country in a year. However, as the last few months have unfolded and people have joined me in my dreams to share my message of hope, and they've partnered with me to help me get my book out into the world or produce this podcast or do all the big, big dreams and visions I've had, but over the last few years have been derailed, I've realized that we can do so much more together than I could have ever done on my own. And I can't help but believe for even more because of that. More inspiration, more stories, more miracles, and more steps. In fact, I believe in a month, we'll be able to walk far more steps together than I had planned to walk in a year. It's me. So it's not just about walking more steps than I had planned in a year. I've got the big dreams. I think we might be able to walk around the world. Who knows? I've had people I've never met looking to organize walks in Australia. I found posts of people wanting to join in Europe. This could be something. But not because of me and my story, but because I really believe that we all want to be a part of a bigger story. We all want to believe for miracles. We all are created to hope and to believe that hope can heal. We're going to cover this world with miracle stories. I really believe it. It's not just my miracle used to inspire, but it's that all of our stories coming together will inspire a movement of hope. And that's a miracle story. Thank you for joining me for another episode. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe on your favorite platform and consider leaving a review. It really does help this show get seen and heard by more people. If you want to stay up to date with the miracle movement, please follow me on Instagram at Amanda_Farron or join the It's a Miracle Facebook group. All the links will be in the show notes. Keep looking for the miracle moments in your life, and I'll see you next time.